Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
The root system of a tree is what holds it in place, keeps it stable, and provides strength and nourishment. Friend, how's your root system doing? Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we're going to study Rooted in Christ. Stay with us. If you don't have a healthy spiritual root system, then every other part of your life is impacted negatively. Your root system is what holds you in place when storms come and trials and difficulty. Your root system is what draws nutrients into your life and provides spiritual strength and stability and hope. And friend, the Bible says we're to be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. This program comes to you every Monday through Friday, and as we begin a new year, we're beginning with a new series, Rooted in Christ. I hope you'll take a moment to visit online, dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find on the website a link to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell that will help you become more rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ in the new year. You'll find links to lots of other resources that will help you to grow spiritually, and much more information about Pastor Chappell and his ministry at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Well, now we invite you to open your Bible to 2 John as we study today Rooted in Christ's Truth. Here's Paul Chappell.
In John chapter 17, we read of the Lord Jesus praying to the Father in heaven for his disciples. And as he was praying for the disciples, he said something that I believe shows us the heart of God for each and every one of us as Christians. And in John 17:17, and it's in your notes, Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Jesus said, "Father, sanctify your disciples, your children, through the truth. Thy word is truth." Now, this morning, we're going to learn that our relationship to the truth, in other words, what I do with the truth of God's word, will affect my relationships in this life and my relationships in eternal life. Let me tell you this morning that someone who rejects the truth of the gospel will spend eternity without Jesus Christ in a place called hell. Now, someone might say, "I want to go to hell with all my friends," but I'm going to tell you something. You don't want to go to hell, and the fact of the matter is, no one in their right mind should want to go there. But the truth is, when someone rejects Jesus Christ, the Bible is very clear that they will not have eternity in heaven. So what we do with the truth has eternal implication. What we do with the truth has implication regarding our relationships here on this earth. For example, most of us are here today because of what we believe in common concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we gather today around the truth of the Word of God. Now, 2 John is a book that speaks much of the truth. You read the word truth with me several times just a moment ago. It was written by the Apostle John, and he was warning believers in the first century, specifically in Asia Minor or modern-day Turkey. He was warning them concerning false teachers, concerning those who were denying the deity of Jesus Christ. And they were teaching that Jesus Christ could never have been God in the flesh. In fact, they taught that God would never take the form of flesh. Now we know what the Bible says in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time, that God took the form of man. But there were false teachers saying that Jesus Christ was not God and that God would never take the form of man. Well, John is writing to set the record straight, and he is writing to proclaim the truth that indeed God did take the form of man, and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for the sins of the world, and Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by Him. And John is establishing this very, very clearly. Now, the interesting thing about 2 John is that it was written not primarily to a church, although that may have been the secondary recipient, but it was written, according to the text, primarily to a Christian woman in Turkey. Notice what it says in verse 1, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children." What an interesting book. Much like 3 John, which was written to a man named Gaius, 2 John is written to a lady and probably to her family and maybe to the church that met there in her house. But John wanted this lady to have the record straight concerning the truth. And so it is this morning, as we speak about being rooted in the truth, we want to have a right relationship with the truth of the Word of God. Now notice, if you would, in your outline this morning, our relationship to the truth, our relationship to the truth of God's Word. And I want you to see, first of all this morning, that our relationship to the truth can be stated in this way: it is our bond. The truth is our bond this morning. Notice John says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth." He said, "I want you to know, lady, that the bond that we have, the reason that I love you, is because of the truth that we believe." Now, that's very important. We are not here this morning primarily because of cultural reasons. We are not here this morning to celebrate our cultural diversity. We are here today to celebrate our unity around the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very important. I believe this woman was a hospitable woman. I believe that pastors would come through and she would provide lodging, and Christians would come through and she would provide food. I believe she was a woman who was given to hospitality. But John did not say, "You know, the reason I love you is because nobody could cook an apple pie like you." He didn't say, "The reason I really think so fondly of you is because you were so kind in the way you cared for us." He said, "I want you to know that the bond that I have with you is that we in common believe in the doctrine of Jesus Christ." Now, folks, you've got to get to the place in your Christian life where more than anything else, the thing that matters is the truth being preached. Are we gathering around the truth of the Word of God? You see, it is the truth that makes us free. Now, let me help you understand this, because I've pastored for 25 years very nice people who come to a place in their life where they get saved and they're growing in the truth of God. And then someone will say to them, "You know, it's wonderful that you have nice doctrine, but culture is so important. So come to our Bible study and we will have a celebration in the Coptic tradition or in an African tradition, or because we have the Korean language and the Korean culture. And come over here because we have an Indonesian style of worship." Now, please mark in your mind, more than you need cultural celebration, you need the truth of Jesus Christ. More than we need to celebrate cultural diversity, we must celebrate the doctrinal truth of Jesus Christ. And in this day, many people find themselves gravitating to a place and loving a place because it is culturally normal or comfortable for them. But I am saying to you, we are not here today because we are all from the same lineage or speak the same original language or cook the same types of food. We are not here today to celebrate all of those things, though those things are fine. We are here fundamentally today, bound together, because we believe that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. He lived a perfectly sinless life. He died on an old rugged cross. He shed His blood for the sins of the world. And that, my friends, is why we gather at Lancaster Baptist Church. we gather today to celebrate the truth of Jesus Christ. And so John says to this woman, he says, unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth. And by the way, if you're taking notes, that word love in that text is the word agape love. He said, I want you to know that with the deepest spiritual love, I love you in the Lord. This was not phileo love, like Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. This was not just a good kind of a friendship love. This was the deepest love of all. And I'm going to tell you, when you get a friend that loves you in the truth and because of Jesus, you've got the best kind of friend you possibly can have. Oh, folks can go to the bar or the nightclub and they can find a phileo friend, a buddy for a while. But when you have a friend in Jesus, you have a friend indeed, you see. So he said, our bond is our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a loving bond and it was a discerning bond. I want you to see that. Notice it says in verse number one, whom I love in the truth. He didn't just say, I love you, I love your cooking, I love your hospitality. He said, I love you in the truth. You know, one of the best things about a Christian marriage is that you have not only a husband and wife, but you are a brother and sister in Jesus Christ. You share the bond of Jesus Christ together. And you see, this was a wonderful bond that John spoke of. He said, it is a loving bond. It is a discerning bond because it is bound by the truth. We have the truth together. Now look in your notes at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9 to understand discerning love. It says there, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, and that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. God says, I want your love to be bounded. I want your love to be bounded with knowledge and judgment. We call that discernment, that you may approve things that are excellent. So John says to this lady, I want you to approve right doctrine. I want you to reject false doctrine. Listen, friends, we don't accept everything that comes down the pike in the name of religion. We want to test it and make sure and have knowledge and judgment. And we want to try the spirits to see whether they be of God. And we want to recognize that this was a bond of love, but it was a bond of discerning love because they were bound together by the truth, you see. And many undiscerning Christians today are swallowing every hook, line, and sinker that the devil puts down into the water. And I want you to realize with me today that what we need in our bond is to recognize that we love in the truth, and that if it is untrue and that if it is against Christ, then we must reject that teaching in this day. You see, it says in Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. There's a quote that I've placed in your notes, and I had it clipped in my file some years ago. But I want you to read this quote. I think it really illustrates the importance of our bond in the truth. It says, not to care about truth is not to care about God. To love God passionately is to love truth passionately. Being centered in life, God-centered in life, means being truth-driven in ministry. What is not true is not of God. What is false is anti-God. Indifference to the truth is indifference to the mind of God. Pretense is rebellion against reality, and what makes reality is God. Our concern with truth is simply an echo of our concern with God. You see, our bond in the truth is why we emphasize today the importance of the doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ. Our relationship to the truth becomes our bond one with another. But let me say quickly, it is also our strength. The strength of this church is not in our buildings, and it is not in our programs. The strength of this church is in the truth of our Savior, the cornerstone, the rock, and His name is Jesus. And notice what it says in verse number 2. It says, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Now I'm going to tell you something this morning. I want to praise God that the truth dwells in me and the truth dwells in you if you're a believer today. And the truth is our strength and it will abide with us forever. That word dwelleth means to abide with us forever. I was sitting at a table each night this past week, several nights in a row with my parents and my siblings and their spouses. And one of the things we did each night was to remember how we were saved. And it was a blessing to hear the testimonies and to remember when my siblings accepted Christ and when my mother or father led one of us to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we talked about where we were and what was going on in life at that time and what grades we were in and how our lives changed and what became interesting to us after we got saved. And I began to think about the joy of just being raised in a Christian home and how thankful I was that the truth of Jesus was passed from one generation to the next generation. And while there are many times difficulties and disappointments that come in our family lives, there is one thing that can remain, and that is Jesus Christ, if you have believed on Jesus Christ as your Savior. And what a blessing to, to have that strength and to know Christ personally in our lives, because He is eternal. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And He encourages and energizes us, for the Bible says in verse number 3, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, our strength is found in His benevolence. Our strength is found in His grace and in His mercy. And we praise the Lord for that. And so we see that God's goodness and God's grace are the motivators for those of us who are the children of God. Our relationship to the truth is that it is our bond this morning and it is our strength this morning. And without the truth of Jesus Christ, we have no church, we have nothing to sing about, we have nothing to preach about, we have no reason to gather here this morning except for Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the truth that brings us together. I don't know about you. There's a lot of things getting people together. I mean, some guys get together to ride motorcycles. Some guys get together to fly airplanes. Some people get on Facebook and talk about different things, and they get together around different causes of quilting and bowling and all different kinds of things. How many of you are glad this morning we're getting together for Jesus this morning? You see, a lot of people get together for lots of different reasons to celebrate their background and their personality and their heritage and all those things. They're all fine, but what I'm saying to you this morning is we are gathering today for the preeminent Son of God who is worthy of our worship and our praise today. What a blessing to know our relationship to the truth is what binds us together. Now notice secondly with me this morning, our responsibility to the truth. Our responsibility to the truth. You see, it's one thing to know Jesus. It's one thing to know the truth of Jesus. But what does God want us to do with that truth? Our theme this year is rooted and grounded in Christ. And as we speak this morning of being rooted in the truth, I want you to think, first of all, with me of our responsibility with the truth from verse number 4. Notice in verse 4, John says, I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Now, how many of you parents would agree with me? There is no greater joy than to know that your children are walking in the truth. That's a joyous thing. And John says to this lady, I am rejoicing over the fact that your children are walking in the truth. So our first responsibility with the truth is that we would walk in the truth. We are to walk in the truth. Look it, we're not to take this Bible, celebrate the truth of Jesus, preach about the truth of Jesus, and then put the Bible on the dashboard until next Sunday. Or in the back seat with the old McDonald's bags until next Sunday. Or on the shelf of your dresser until next Sunday. God says, I don't want you to celebrate the truth one day a week. I want you to walk with the truth. I want the truth to become a part of your everyday life. It is a present tense participle that speaks of an ongoing, active relationship with the truth. And God says, I want this to be a part of your life. Not a tumbleweed kind of a Baptist that's in and out of church and up and down and bouncing around from place to place and in this field and over hither and yon. But I'm talking about a Christian that is intentionally rooted in Christ. And you see, God says, I want you to walk with me intentionally, daily, devotionally, walking with me. And just a few quick things, and we'll touch on this in some practical ways next week. But notice in the scriptures, God gives us some idea of how this can happen. First of all, we're to read God's word. We're to read the word of God. Look at what he said to the kings in Deuteronomy 17. God gave instruction for his kings. And in verse 19, he said, it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and to keep all the words of this law and those statutes to do them. God says, I want my kings, the kings of Israel, to read my word, to keep the word central in the midst of my people. Robert Chapman said this, and listen to this quote, the great cause of neglecting the scriptures is not want of time, but want of heart, some idol taking the place of Christ. The reason we do not read the Bible is not because we don't have time. It's because we don't have heart. We just don't have the heart for it. We get done what we want to get done. Sometimes I hear people say, have you watched American Idol? I'm not sure that that's something worthy of watching or not, but let me just say this. People who watch it because they have a heart for it. People who read the Bible because they have a heart for it. Because they want to hear from God. They want to be rooted in his truth. It's not for lack of time. You want to get your day timer out? You want to compare how many emails you get, how much schedule you have with mine? Hey, we can play that game. Everybody in here is busy, but nobody in here should be too busy to walk with God. When I was in Bible college, my wife worked up in San Jose, California during the summer, and I was working down at the City of Industry down in the LA area. And I worked for Caterpillar Company. I worked the swing shift, and boy, I miss Terry. I'll tell you what, I'll never forget that summer. She was up there 300 miles away, and I was down here trying to save money to get married. And I tell you what, I'd come off that swing shift, and I would be tired, and I'd be greasy from head to toe. And about 1 o'clock in the morning, I'd get back to the college campus there, and I always did the same thing. I always went right to the mail room. And I don't know why Terry did this, but when she would write me letters, a lot of times she'd spray them with perfume. I mean, even with a cold like I have today, I could sniff it out coming into that mailroom, you know. She put little stuff in there, little stars and dust. I have not figured that out yet. What good is that? It dumps all over you when you open up your letters, you know, and stuff. But that's what girls do. They want your attention, you know. And I'm telling you what, I'd get off work and I'd be tired and I'd be greasy and I'd get off work and I'd walk into that mailroom. I'd start trying to smell that Channel 5 or whatever it was she sprayed on that letter, you know. Man, I'll tell you what, I'd get to that mailbox, I'd put the key in, I'd open it up, I'd pull that letter out, man, I'd read that thing line for line for line. I'd read it once, twice, three times. I wanted to make sure she said in there in many different ways how great I was, how much she loved me, you know. Like all of these men, I was an insecure 18-year-old, and I had to have that reaffirmation of her love, you know. And I'll tell you what, it was so sweet when she'd say, I sure miss you and I sure love you. Boy, I'd read that over. I'd smell that perfume, you know. It was awesome.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're studying in this series, Rooted in Christ, how to develop a healthy and a strong root system through our relationship with the Lord and our study of His Word, how to become grounded and rooted and settled in our relationship with Him. Friend, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? That relationship begins the moment you trust Him as Savior, the moment you place your faith in Him. And that happens when you call upon Him in belief and you say, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my heart and save me from my sin and save me from myself and give me your gift of eternal life. Friend, if you've never made that decision, we encourage you to make that decision right now. It's simple, it's vital, it's the greatest decision you could ever make. And if you have questions, we'd love to talk with you more about it. We do love to hear from listeners, and we enjoy hearing your feedback and knowing that our program is touching your life. There's a couple ways you can get a hold of us. First of all, by toll-free phone number. That is 1-800-201-7748. 1-800-201-7748. Or you can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. When you visit the website, you can click on the link to email us or get a hold of us. We would love to hear from you. You'll also find many resources that will help you in your spiritual growth and in your relationship with Christ. Many resources that will help you do exactly what we're talking about in our present series, to become rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. And don't forget, you're invited to the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through 16th, 2014. Join Pastor Chapel and guests and friends from all over the country for a week of tremendous Bible teaching and preaching, Christian fellowship, wonderful music, and the beauty and grandeur of Alaska's Inside Passage. You can find out more information about the cruise or reserve your place when you visit again, dailyintheword.org. Don't forget, that's the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th, 2014. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.